tide comes in, a fair wind blows to further shores. I will go on these sparkling seas, where I'll be free to sail away to a sacred place where silence sings and dewdrops dance into the sea by a rainbow's light. I set my course and sail away. My cheeks are wet with the mystery from all the love you give to me. In the morning light, I see my ship gonna sail away, sail away. Everybody, this is Osho Radio. You're going to listen to 1 hour of beautiful music from the world of Osho and a part of a discourse by Osho. The next hour is time for yourself. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Jai Guru Dev, Jai Guru Dev. जय जय गुरुदेव, जय श्री गुरुदेव, जय जय गुरुदेव। जय जय गुरुदेव, जय श्री गुरुदेव, जय जय गुरुदेव। वंदे गुरुदेव, जय गुरुदेव, जय श्री गुरुदेव, जय जय गुरुदेव।
Course in this program is from the series Tantra, the Supreme Understanding, Lecture Number 8. Osho is talking about choice and choicelessness. To live in choice is actually to live in misery. To live without choice in choicelessness is to be free, to live in freedom. If you can stay away from choices, there is no bad and no good, there is no beautiful and ugly. The only thing that remains and always remains is awareness. Thank you.
Choice is bondage. Choicelessness, freedom. The moment you choose something, you have fallen in the trap of the world. If you can resist the temptation to choose, if you can remain choicelessly aware, the trap disappears by its own accord. Because when you don't choose, you don't help the trap to be there. The trap is also created by your choice. So this word choice has to be understood very deeply. Because only through that understanding, choicelessness can flower in you. Why you can't remain without choosing? Why it happens the moment you see a person or a thing, immediately a subtle wave of choice has entered in you. Even if you are not aware that you have chosen, a woman passes by and you say, she is beautiful. You are not saying anything about your choice, but the choice has entered. Because to say a person that she is beautiful means I would like to choose her. In fact, deep down you have chosen. You are already in the trap. The seed has fallen to the soil. Soon there will be sprouts. There will be a plant and a tree. The moment you say, this car is beautiful, choice has entered. You may not be aware at all that you have chosen, that you would like to possess this car. But in the mind, a fantasy has entered, a desire has arisen. When you say something is beautiful, you mean that you would like to have it. When you say something is ugly, you mean that you would not like to have it. Choice is subtle. And one has to be very minutely aware about it. Whenever you say something, remember this, that saying is not only saying, not a mere saying, something has happened in the unconscious. Don't make the distinctions, this is beautiful and that is ugly, this is good and that is bad. Don't make the distinctions. Remain aloof. Things are neither bad nor good. The quality of goodness and badness is introduced by you. Things are neither beautiful nor ugly. They are simply there as they are. The quality of being beautiful and ugly is introduced by you. It is your interpretation. What do you mean when you say something is beautiful? Is there any criterion of beauty? Can you prove it that it is beautiful? Just standing by your side, somebody may think this is ugly. So it is nothing objective. Nobody can prove anything beautiful. Thousands and thousands of books have been written on aesthetics, and it has been a long, arduous journey for intellectuals, thinkers and philosophers to define what beauty is. They have not been yet able. They have written great books, great treatises. They go round about and round about. But nobody has ever been able to pinpoint what is beauty. No, it seems impossible, because there exists nothing like beauty or ugliness. It is your interpretation. First you make a thing beautiful. This is why I say first you create the trap and then you fall into it. First you think this face is beautiful. This is your creation. This is just your imagination. This is just your mind interpreting. This is not existential. This is just psychological. And then you yourself fall into the trap. You dig the hole and then you fall into it and then you cry for help and then you cry for people to come for your salvation. You simply see the whole trick. It is your own creation. What do you mean something is ugly? If man is not on the earth, whether there will be ugliness and beauty? Trees will be there, of course, and they will bloom, of course. Rains will come and summer and seasons will follow. But there will be nothing like beautiful and ugly. It will disappear with man and his mind. Sun will rise, and in the night the sky will be filled with his stars. But nothing will be beautiful and nothing will be ugly. It was just man creating noise. Now he is no more there. The interpretations have disappeared. What will be good and what will be bad? In nature nothing is good and nothing is bad. And remember, Tantra is the loose and the natural way. It wants you to bring you to the deepest natural phenomena of life. It wants you to help draw from the mind. And mind creates distinctions. And mind says this is to be chosen and that is to be avoided. To this you cling and to that you avoid and escape from that. Look at the whole phenomena. Just a look is needed, nothing else. No practice is needed. Just a look of the whole situation. The moon is beautiful. Why? Because for centuries you have been indoctrinated that the moon is beautiful. For centuries poets have been singing about the moon. For centuries people have believed. Now it has become ingrained. Of course, there are few things which happen with the moon. It is very soothing. You feel calmed down. And the light of the moon gives a mysterious aroma to the whole nature. It gives a sort of hypnosis. You feel a little sleepy and awake, and things look more beautiful. It gives a dreamlike quality to the world. That's why we call madmen lunatics. The word lunatic comes from the word lunar, the moon. They have gone mad. Moon is struck. The moon creates a sort of lunacy. A sort of madness, a neurosis. It may be concerned with the water in your body, just like the sea is affected by the moon, and tides come. Your body is 90% seawater. If you ask the physiologists, they will say that something must be happening in the body because of the moon. Because your body remains a part of the sea. Man has come from the sea to the earth. Basically, life was born in the sea. And the whole sea is affected. Of course, all sea animals are affected by the moon. They are part of the sea. And man has also come from the sea. Very, very long he has traveled, but it makes no difference. The body still reacts in the same way. And 90% of your body is water. And not only water, sea water. With the same chemicals, same saltiness. In the womb, the child for 9 months swims, floats in seawater. The mother's womb is filled with seawater. That's why when women are pregnant, they start eating more salt. More salt is needed for their womb to keep the same balance of saltiness. And the child passes through all the phases humanity has passed. In the beginning, he is just like a fish. Moves into the ocean of the mother's womb. Floats. By and by. In 9 months, he passes millions of years. Physiologists have come to realize that all the stages of life, he passes through 9 months. That may be. That the moon affects you, but there is nothing like beauty. It is a chemical phenomenon. Certain eyes you feel very beautiful. What is happening? Those eyes must have a quality, a chemical quality, an electric quality in them. They must be releasing some energy. You become affected by them. You say some eyes are hypnotic, like Adolf Hitler's eyes. Just the moment he sees you, something happens in you. You say eyes are very beautiful. What do you mean by beauty? You are affected. In fact, when you say something is beautiful, you are not saying that something is beautiful. You are saying that you are affected in a nice way. That's all. When you say something is ugly, you are saying that you are affected in an antagonistic way. You are repelled or you are attracted. When you are attracted, it is beauty. When you are repelled, it is ugly. But it is you, not the object. Because the same object can attract somebody else. It happens every day. People are always amazed about other people. They say that man has fallen in that woman's love. Amazing. Nobody can believe that this can happen, that woman is ugly. But to that man, that woman is the very incarnation of beauty. What to do? There can be no objective criterion. There is none. You remember, whenever you choose something, whenever you decide for this or against this, it is your mind playing tricks. Don't say the thing is beautiful. Just simply say that I am affected in a nice way. But the base remains I. If once you transfer the whole phenomena on the object, then it can never be solved. Because from the first step you missed the root. The root is you. So if you are affected, it means your mind is affected in a certain way. And then that affection, that affectedness, creates the trap and you start moving. First you create a beautiful man. And then you start chasing. Then you run after. And after a few days living with a beautiful woman or a man, all fantasies fall to the ground. Suddenly you become aware as if you have been deceived. This woman looks ordinary. And you were thinking she was a Leila or a Juliet. Or you were thinking he is a Majnu or a Romeo. And suddenly, after a few days, the dreams have evaporated. and the woman has become ordinary and the man has become ordinary, then you feel disgusted, as if the other has deceived you. Nobody has deceived, and nothing has fallen from the man or woman. It was your own fantasy that has fallen, because fantasies cannot be maintained. You can dream about them, but you cannot maintain them for a long time. Fantasies are fantasies. So if you really want to continue in your fantasy, then when you see a woman beautiful, immediately escape from her as far as you can. Then you will always remember her as the most beautiful woman in the world. Then the fantasy will never come in contact with reality. Then there will be no shattering. You can always sigh and sing and weep and cry for the beautiful woman, but never go near her. The nearer you come, the more reality, the more objective reality reveals itself. And when there is a clash between objective reality and your fantasy, of course, you know who is going to be defeated, your fantasy. Objective reality cannot be defeated. This is the situation. Become aware. Nobody is deceiving you except yourself. The woman was not trying to be very beautiful. She was not creating the fantasy around her. You created it around her. You believed it. And now you are at a loss what to do, because the fantasy cannot be continued against reality. A dream has to break. And that is the criterion. Hindus in the East has made a criterion of truth. They say truth is that which lasts forever, forever, forever. And untruth is that which lasts only for a moment. No other distinction is there. The momentary is the untrue, and the everlasting is the truth. And life is everlasting. Existence is everlasting. Mind is momentary. So whatsoever mind gives to life remains momentary. It is a color that the mind gives to the life. It is an interpretation. By the time the interpretation is complete, the mind has changed. You cannot maintain the interpretation, because mind cannot be maintained for two consecutive moments in the same situation, in the same state. Mind goes on changing. Mind is a flux. It is already changed. By the time you realize that this man is beautiful, the mind has already changed. Now you will be falling with something which is no more there, even in your mind. Understand the mechanism of the mind and cut the root. Don't choose. Because when you choose, you get identified. Whatsoever you choose, you become in a certain way one with it. If you love a car, you become one with that car in a certain way. You come closer and closer. And if the car is stolen, something of your being is stolen. If something goes wrong with the car, something goes wrong with you. If you fall in love with a house, you become one with the house. Love means identification. Coming so close, as if two wax candles you put closer, 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 and put them very close, they become one. The heat, the burning of the flame, by and by they become one. This is identification. Two flames coming closer and closer and closer, they become one. And when you are identified with something, you have lost your soul. This is the meaning of losing your soul in the world. You have become identified with millions of things, and with everything a part of you has become a thing. Choice brings identification. Identification brings a hypnotic state of sleep. You are crying. When you are crying, you have become one with the crying. There is nobody to watch it. There is nobody to see it, be alert and aware of it. You are lost into crying. You have become the tears and the red swollen eyes, and your heart is in a crisis. Teachers like Gurdjieff, when they say not to be identified, they say cry. Nothing is wrong in it, but stand by the side and look at it. Don't be identified. And it is a wonderful experience if you can stand by the side. Cry. Let the body cry. Let the tears flow. Don't suppress it, because suppression helps nobody. But stand by the side and watch. This can be done, because your inner being is a witness. It is never a doer. Whenever you think it is a doer, there is an identification. It is never a doer. You can walk the whole earth. Your inner being never walks a single step. You can dream millions of dreams. Your inner being never dreams a single dream. All movements are on the surface. Deep in the depth of your being, there is no movement. All movements are on the periphery, just like a wheel moves. But at the center, nothing moves. At the center, everything remains as it is. And on the center, the wheel moves. Remember the center. Watch your behavior, your actions, your identifications, and a distance is created. By and by, a distance comes into existence. The watcher and the doer become two. You can see yourself laughing. You can see yourself crying. You can see yourself walking, eating, making love. You can see many things whatsoever are going around, and you remain the seer. You don't jump and become one with whatsoever you are seeing. This is the trouble. Whatsoever happens, you start saying, you are hungry, you say, I am hungry. You have become identified with the hunger. But just look inside. Are you hunger? Our hunger is happening to you. Are you hunger, or you are simply aware of the hunger happening in the body? You cannot be hunger. Otherwise, when the hunger has disappeared, where you will be? When you have eaten well, and the belly is full, and you are satiated, where you will be if you are hunger? Evaporated? No, then immediately you become the satiety. Before the hunger disappears, a new identification has to be created. You become the satiety. You were a child, and you thought you were a child. Now where are you? Because you are no more a child. You have become young, or you have become old. Who are you now? Again, you are identified with youth or old age. The innermost being is just like a mirror. Whatsoever comes before it, it mirrors. It simply becomes a witness. Disease comes, our health, hunger, our satiety, summer, our winter, childhood, our old age, birth, our death. Whatsoever happens, happens before the mirror. It never happens to the mirror. This is non-identification. This is cutting the root, the very root. Become a mirror. And to me, this is sannyas, to become like a mirror. Don't become like a very sensitive photo plate. That is identification. Whatsoever comes before the lens of the camera, the photo plate immediately takes it in, becomes one with it. Become like a mirror. Things come and pass, and the mirror remains vacant, empty, white. It simply reflects. It does not react. It simply responds. It doesn't say, this is beautiful, that is ugly. An ugly woman stands. The mirror is as happy as when a beautiful woman stands before it. It makes no difference. He reflects whatsoever is the case, but he doesn't interpret. He doesn't say, go away, you disturb me very much. Or come a little closer, you are so beautiful. The mirror says nothing. The mirror simply watches without any distinction. Friend or foe, the mirror has no distinctions to make. And when somebody passes, goes away from the mirror doesn't cling to it. The mirror has no past. It is not that you have passed and the mirror will cling a little to your phantom. It is not that the mirror will cling to your shadow a little while. It is not that the mirror will try to retain the reflection that has happened in it. No, you have passed, reflection has gone. Not even for a single second, the mirror retains it. This is the mind of a Buddha. You come before it, he is filled with you. You go away, you have gone. Not even a memory flashes. A mirror has no past, neither has a Buddha. A mirror has no future, neither has a Buddha. The mirror doesn't wait now who is coming before me, nor whom I am going to reflect. That I would like this person to come and not like that person. The mirror has no choice. He remains choiceless. Try to understand this metaphor of the mirror. Because this is the real situation of the inner consciousness. Don't get identified by things that are happening around you. You retain centered. You remain centered and rooted in your being. Things are happening and they will continue to happen. But if you can be centered in your mirror-like consciousness, nothing will be the same. The whole has changed. You remain virgin, innocent, pure. Nothing can become an impurity to you. Nothing, absolutely. Because nothing is retained. You reflect for a moment, somebody is there and then everything is gone. Your emptiness is untouched. Even while a mirror is reflecting somebody, there is nothing happening to the mirror. The mirror is not changing in any way. The mirror remains the same. This is cutting the very root. Thank you.
Your breath, your dancing wild.
We started the program with music from Milarepa from his CD Laughter of the Buddhas, a number called Sail Away. It is especially dedicated to Anugita, who left her body last week and arranged a beautiful celebration for all of us who celebrated her delicate and precious life and also celebrated her death today. After Milarepa, there was Manish Vijas with a great composition, Vande Gurudev. And just before the discourse, you heard Chastro, Lavender Moon, from his CD Bandole. After the discourse, there was an instrumental piece by Pushkar called Petals from his CD Ding, and then Maniko was singing a very strong number called Nature of Things from her CD House of the Beloved. After this intense day full of music, silence and celebration, we had a quiet program today. I hope you all liked it and will come back to Osho Radio next time. Enjoy the springtime. Take care, everybody, and namaste.
Wildflower in a wild wind, wild voice singing deep within, wild night when your dreams come true, it's happening to me and you. Wild river rolling to the restless sea, what is meant to be will be, and it's a wild life. No matter what we do, it's happening to me and you, me and you. Where I'm bound, nobody knows, and I'm too far gone to take it easy. Feel the grass beneath my feet as it grows. I feel the wind in my hair as it blows. I got the courage to be wrong. And the strength arose. Strength arose. Wild heart in a wild world, the innocent eyes of a little girl. Wild spirit in a wild dream, passing through this world alone. A wild river rolling to the restless sea. A white cloud moving silently, a silver moon shining through, shining on me and you. take it easy. Feel the grass beneath our feet as it grows. Feel the wind in our hair as it blows. We got the courage to be wrong and the strength of a rose. Strength of a rose. Wild flower in a wild wind, wild voice singing deep within. Wild night when your dreams come true. It's happening to me and you. Wild river rolling to the restless sea. What is meant to be will be. It's a wild life, no matter what we do. Happening to me and you, me and you. Where I'm bound, nobody knows. And I'm too far gone to take it. Feel the grass beneath my feet as it grows. And I feel the wind in my hair as it blows. I got the courage to be wrong and the strength of a rose. The strength of a rose.